is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, the school year wrapping up in a lot of ways, and still some things happening in some districts, but wanted to do another check-in around Douglas County. And Superintendent Kate McLaughlin of the South Umpqua School District, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So as you look back, well, first of all, are there things still happening to wrap up the year in the district before you transition to summer activities?
Well, our students' last day was Friday the 11th, and staff last day was yesterday. So we are still wrapping up some end-of-year things, doing some facility projects, but otherwise, we are done for the year.
So how would you evaluate this past school year?
Interesting, for sure. I think everyone could agree with that. The pandemic threw us some curveballs and challenges that I've never seen before in my 17 years in education. But I would say it was a very successful school year for us.
So what were some of the biggest challenges you faced?
I think it would depend on whose point of view you're looking at. For our students and families, they certainly had a lot of really tough decisions and challenges to make there. From an administrative point of view, I would say just working through the different agencies that were involved in all of the regulations and decision-making processes. We had OSHA, we had Department of Education, Health Authority, OSAA, and a lot of times that guidance was conflicting or overlapping. So just navigating that took a lot of time. It created a lot of last-minute planning and changes and led to a lot of staff fatigue over the year.
Do you feel like anybody, as far as employees, really got much of a day off, even on weekends, for a lot of points in the year?
No, and I think that's really what contributed to the fatigue. If you look back, even last year when we ended the year early and moved to distance learning, our administrative staff worked throughout the summer planning, and it seemed like every time we'd put a plan in place, there would be a change to the regulations, so we'd have to gather them together again and do that all over. And for teachers, we had students in school in person all but 13 days this year, which was fantastic. But for them, they had a lot of additional duties due to the regulations and safety measures, and ended up being a very exhausting year.
Now, was there a segment of the students that you think were maybe impacted the most?
You know, I think that all students were impacted on some level from the pandemic, some much more painfully than others, probably due to family circumstances. But when I look at the school year overall, I would say I think our high school kids probably felt the change more than a lot of our other kids did. They had a loss of some of their freedoms and some of their activities that they had been looking forward to. And a lot of those things are one time only.
What were some of the things that high schoolers couldn't do that they normally do?
The first half of the year, we closed the campus, so the juniors and seniors that had been looking forward to open campus lunch, they were not able to do that for the first half of the year. Athletic and extracurricular events were either canceled or postponed until later in the year. We were fortunate to finish the year with an in-person prom and a traditional graduation ceremony, so we felt really great about that, and I know our students were really happy. But along the way, it was bumpy for them.
What about the wrap-up on the athletic side the past few weeks, where it's like, wait a second, what sport are we playing today?
Yes, that's been the ongoing, what sport are we playing this week? And one sport barely ends before the next one begins. So not the traditional preparation time that our athletic teams are used to having. Same with the extracurriculars. So it's been very challenging just trying to figure out what the schedule is when and condense everything into a very short amount of time.
And even it seemed like just watching some of the other districts that, I mean, it was right up till the last few weeks that it was like, well, can we actually go there even sometimes?
Right. With the quarantines and the restrictions, it was a constant monitoring act. I give all credit to our coaches and our athletic department at the high school and the middle schools for keeping on top of it all.
So how did the staff, how did they do with all these shifts this year?
You know, we are very fortunate. We have an amazing staff, and while it was a very different year and very challenging in many ways, they were incredibly professional. It seemed like any curveball we threw at them, they just figured out how to make it work for the kids. So really, our whole attitude among the staff has been whatever it takes for the students to be successful, and they pulled it off this year.
Now, you were asked to do a lot of things. You had to probably add a lot of hours to different people for some of the things that took place, but I know the state provided some funding there. Talk about that.
Sure. So there was a lot of additional grant funding this year through the federal government and then passed through the state. We used a lot of that funding for staffing our distance learning program with licensed teachers and an assistant to support the students and families. We used some of that funding for one-to-one devices and technology. So all of our students, kindergarten through second grade, received iPad touch devices, and our students grades 3 through 12 all received their own Chromebook this year. And then additional staffing for custodial services for the additional sanitation requirements.
What about just looking at your district boundaries? I'm not exactly sure what the parameters are of the district, but you've got some places that are very, very rural where I imagine that internet issues came into play for some of these things.
They did. There are certain circumstances where it was a definite challenge. Again, because we were able to have in-person classes throughout the year, most of the time that was a non-issue. We did have situations where students were quarantined and had to do distance learning, but due to where they lived, that made that very challenging.
And were there some students that, even though you were in person just about all the year, where the families just opted to be distant?
Absolutely. And every family had to make their own choice for what was best for them in this pandemic. And our school board has always been very supportive of that parent choice. In fact, while we were required to do distance learning by the state this year, it is something that we plan to continue through an online academy next year because of the school board's commitment to providing choice to families.
So for those that were online, do you feel like you were able to do a better job this year versus the end of the prior school year?
For sure. The end of last year, we were all basically thrown into it without much notice, so we used whatever we currently had. This year, we had I don't know if you'd call it the luxury of planning over the summer, but that's what we used it for, and we were able to purchase the technology that we needed, as well as upgrade our software and our learning platforms so that we could better serve students.
So do you feel like even though you were in person most all of the year, that with everything else, some of the restrictions, all of that, that kids are a bit behind?
You know, I think it's really hard to measure at this point what the impact of the pandemic will be. Academically, it's hard to measure because we don't have the traditional summative assessment data that we would normally have. But beyond that, we do know that this pandemic has impacted our students and our families, and in a lot of social and emotional ways that I think we're going to be seeing in years to come.
What do you think some of those ways are?
Well, in a lot of personal ways, whether they had family members that were sick or may have passed away, the change in their environment, whether it's at home, at school, or out in the community. I think it's important to remember that our kids have literally been living history throughout the past year and a half, and we really just don't know what impact that will have.
Superintendent Kate McLaughlin of the South Umpqua School District. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Later, the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Still finalizing tomorrow's program. Likely be talking to a candidate for governor of Oregon. We'll also do another educational check-in with Superintendent Terry Presciani of the Sutherland School District. That'll be early next week. Superintendent Kate McLaughlin of the South Umpqua School District in with us now. So as you look ahead to summer, I know the state helped with this as well. Talk about some of the things that you're able to do this summer that are not part of the normal schedule.
Well, we focused on really hands-on learning opportunities for kids this summer and just a way of re-engaging students and giving them additional opportunities. So more than the nuts and bolts of just reading, writing, and math. And we're really pleased to offer week-long STEAM camps, so science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics at the middle school level. In fact, I was talking to a teacher yesterday, and she was showing me the project they're going to be doing, which is putting together their own drones, coding them and programming them, and then flying them. So lots of fun camps happening at the middle school level. At the elementary level, we're doing something brand new for us this year. We are offering a kindergarten readiness camp that will happen in August, and this is for our incoming kindergarten students and their parents, where they can come in and get to know their teachers, find their way around the school, learn the basic routines of what it means to be in school before the first day. So we're really excited about that. It will give parents an opportunity to ask questions and familiarize themselves with the process before their kids ever start.
So are these being handled by regular staff that are just working extra contracts, essentially?
They are. We put an all call out to staff and said, who is willing and available? And we had some fantastic response from that and some really creative ideas for engaging kids. We're also going to be offering the traditional credit recovery systems at the high school, and we are hoping in August to be able to do a ninth grade counts for our incoming ninth graders, which will help better prepare them for the transition to high school so that they can be successful in their first year.
Yeah, talk about that, because that's come up in other interviews I've done, and you would know much more than me, but it seems like the data shows that how well students do in their freshman year really sets the stage for how well they're going to finish their high school years.
That's absolutely true. In fact, it's the number one indicator of high school graduation success, whether or not a student is on track to graduate their freshman year, meaning they've earned 6 credits or more by the end of their freshman year. So that freshman year is critical, because if they fall behind in their freshman year, it's very difficult for them to catch up over the course of their high school education. So we have partnered with stand.com and their high school success ninth grade counts program, and we've done a lot of professional development at the high school. We have a very strong freshman success team, and in fact, at the end of third quarter this year, of the students that had been attending in person, 100% were on track.
Wow. And not only for academics, but just a lot of elements. I mean, middle school is a whole lot different than elementary, but high school is a lot different than middle school. And you're also, as a student, starting to think what you want to do when you get out of high school.
Sure. And to that end, in fact, when we did a lot of the town halls last year before the pandemic hit, and also some student meetings, we talked to students about what their career pathways were, and we talked to parents about what they wanted for their children through the educational experience. And it was an overwhelming amount of feedback that said, we want practical, hands-on courses for our kids. We want them to have multiple pathways to career, college, or straight to work, or the military. And so we've worked hard to implement some additional elective courses at the high school this year to provide some of the classes that the students and the parents asked for.
And you mentioned the STEAM camps. That's got a tie-in with that as well.
It does, absolutely. So if we started at the middle school level, then it's much easier to roll it up into high school. And a great example of that, and even elementary for that matter, a great example of that are coding classes. So computer science classes that you can start at the elementary level, teaching children how to code and program, and then in middle school how to apply that, and then in high school this becomes a career path option.
And I know, I mean, I'm old, and when I was in high school, it used to be there was a chart that said if you don't go to college, you will probably make this much max. If you go to 2 years, you'll make this much max. If you get a 4-year degree, and it went from there. But given the technology and all the shifts, that's not always the case anymore.
I don't think it is the case anymore. And I think really what we've done is we've shifted our focus on making sure that we have opportunities for students to choose the path they want to take. Take the trades, for example. We have a tremendous need for skilled tradespeople in our local area and in state and around the country. But there aren't as many programs anymore for that. A good, well-trained tradesperson can make a living wage, and very comfortably so. So more than which path are you going to choose, it's here are many different pathways to success, and there is no one right or no one wrong way. We just want to give everyone options.
As you begin to look more towards the fall, how are things going to be different, or will they much for South Umpqua?
Well, if we're talking about in relationship to the pandemic, we know that there will be some shifts. We are hoping for a loosening in some of the restrictions, like face masks and social distancing and cohorting. We know that some of those will still be required, but we're hoping that there is more flexibility in those. And then we are also really looking forward to offering expanded opportunities for our kids and having our kids back in person again.
What's the element of kids when they, maybe they were distance learning for whatever reason, when they get back into the classroom full time, what's the difference?
Well, you know, I think the greatest difference is the amount of support and the amount of resources that we can provide students when they're in person. We make every effort to provide those when students are seeing us via a distance learning model. But the reality is when you're in person and you're checking in with your teacher, your principal, or multiple staff members throughout the day, you have those strong relationships with people and you have access to more resources. I think different learning models work well for different students and their families, depending on the situation, but there are benefits to both sides.
And what about for teachers and other educational staff? Post-pandemic, a lot of availabilities are there that weren't before in terms of, you want a special speaker from New York in your class this week, you can make it happen. It seems like the whole arena is going to be forever changed.
Well, I think that's a really good point. And I think one thing we've learned from the pandemic is that the school system that we have in place, the educational system that's been in place for a century, does not work for all people, and that there are better ways to do things. And we need to be flexible. We need to be willing to change and update and accommodate to meet the needs of our students and their families.
What did your, you talked about the staff dealing with all of this and the fatigue. Do you have anything in place to sort of help them other than taking part of the summer off in a lot of cases?
I think time off will be the best medicine for most people, to be honest with you. I know it'll be the best medicine for me, and I'm looking forward to having a few days here and there. Otherwise, just really looking at how can we best support staff and what types of professional development can we provide staff? What are they asking for? What do they need in order to continue implementing some of the successful programs that we've found through the pandemic?
In the past 16 months, what's the biggest thing you've learned?
To be flexible and not be afraid of change. And I would say, in general, that we can do this. We have learned that we can do this. If it's in the best interest of our students, we will do whatever it takes.
Superintendent Kate McLaughlin of the South Umpqua School District, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.